I'm glad that we can know we're saved and going to heaven. It's not something you just, it's not a hope so, think so, maybe so. Jesus came to give us a know-so salvation. You can know that you know that you know you're saved. And that's what all the people of the Bible had that had genuine saving faith. They all had a intimate, eternal knowledge of everlasting life through the blood of Jesus. That they knew they were not only believers, but that they were the children of God. And that they were going to heaven. That they would see Him when they died. And I'm glad we can have that assurance. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. We know that, don't we? We sure do. We got a witness. John, in the book of John, John says, I write these things that you might know. Just read 1 John. He said, I write these things that you might know that you have everlasting life. You can know. And he went on and told us several things, several indicators, things that you must have in order to know. And one of those things is a witness in yourself. Everybody that's really saved has a spiritual, internal witness in their soul. When you repent of your sins and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost comes into your heart. You're not regenerated without it. You must be regenerated. The Bible talks about regenerated. And unless the Holy Ghost comes in you, the Bible talks about regeneration, being the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I mean, the Holy Ghost comes into our hearts and lives. And when that happens, you know it. And when you pass from death into life, you know it. When you once were blind, spiritually dead, and you're able to see and you're made alive, you know it. You're the first one that knows it. When you're born from above, when the Spirit of God comes into your heart, Jesus said everybody that's born again experiences a spiritual experience. He said in John 3:8, He said, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone. That includes you. Everyone is born of the Spirit. I remember a few years ago I was arguing with a man who was very religious. He was very devout, very doctrinal, understood a lot of things concerning the Bible, was able to argue and debate the Scriptures. And I just asked him, I just quoted John 3:8, and I said, when did that happen to you? And he said, it never happened. I said, then you're lost. You're a child of the devil. Jesus said, everybody, when did that happen to you? He said, it never happened to me. He said, I was baptized, I'm a member of the church, but that never happened to me. I said, well, Jesus said that everybody that's born from above experiences a spiritual birth. If you don't have a spiritual birth, if you don't have a time and a place where you can go back and say, right here, right there is where I was born from above, right here, right there, I was translated into the kingdom of His dear Son from the kingdom of darkness. If you don't have that, you're lost. I'll never forget, a few weeks later, he said, I got to tell you something. His name was Bill, and I said, what? He said, I've experienced it. I said, what'd you experience? I've got it. I said, what do you got? He said, I was underneath my kitchen table, and I was born from above. I was called of the Lord. I repented my sins. Right there, I experienced John 3:8. Listen, if you don't have a right there where I experienced John 3:8, you're lost. You're undone. You're in your sins. You may be religious, but there's a lot of religious folks. Jesus said in Matthew 7, He said, many shall say unto me on that day, that's the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. They were religious, but they were religiously lost. He would turn to them and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. See, not only do you need to know the Lord, but the Lord needs to know you. And what seals that is the power of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. That seals that. He puts His seal upon us. And we're sealed into the day of redemption. He puts His stamp, and that seal and that stamp is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit puts that stamp upon the soul. And when your soul is stamped with the Holy Spirit of God, when the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your account, when you're justified in the sight of God, there's a peace that comes into your heart and life. There's a knowledge. It's more than peace. It's a knowledge. It's an awareness. It's a knowledge that you've passed from death unto life. Jesus said in John 5:24, verse 25, He said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Yeah, it's real. Salvation is real. Now listen, if you've got some muddled kind of religion that's just steeped in tradition or steeped in the doctrines and traditions of men, you won't go to heaven. You have to have a heavenly birth. You must be born again. Now, I know you can go to church. You can go to different places. There's a lot of people that come in among us here at Victory Church. They've gone to church all of their life, and nobody's ever told them they need to be saved. But the Bible says over and over again that Jesus came to seek and to save people who are lost. All of us are lost. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all lost, and we all need to be saved. There's no such thing as being born a Christian. You're made a Christian through the redeeming and the application of the blood of Jesus upon your heart and upon your soul. And my friend, when that happens, you know it. I feel for people that go all their life and they go to church and they go to religion and they have all different religious traditions and rituals that they go through. They give their time, they give their energy, they give their money, but deep down in their hearts and in their souls, they have no knowledge of salvation. But Jesus said when he was preaching, this is eternal life to know the only true God and his Son whom he has sent. To know that you have eternal life. I'm glad you can know. I'm glad you can know, and I know. And the Bible says you got to know. And if you don't have what this Bible teaches, you will not go to heaven. Listen, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. There's a lot of deception in the world. There's a lot of false religions. There's a lot of false doctrines. There's a lot of false prophets. Jesus said many false prophets have gone into the world. But there's the light of the glorious gospel. There's the power of God. And you need to experience the power of God in your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says you have to be born again. The Bible says you have to pass from death into life. He said, Paul did when he was writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2. Ye who were in trespasses and sin, dead, spiritually dead. Listen, when you're spiritually dead and then you're spiritually made alive, there's something that happens inside of you. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. There's a light that goes off on the inside. There's a spiritual awareness. There's a spiritual revelation that takes place deep inside of your soul. And lets you know that you're a child of God. Wow. Are you telling me, preacher, that everybody's got to have that? Yes, I'm telling you everybody has to have that because that's exactly what Jesus said. That's what the apostles taught. That's what the early church taught. That's what the Bible says. And that's what I preach. You must be born again. Church membership isn't good enough. Going into the waters of baptism won't save you. It will not wash away your sins. Partaking of the Lord's Supper, that will not save you. Being on the church roll, doing good works will not save you. The only one that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed His precious blood for our sins. He atoned for us. His atoning death is the means and the way to eternal life. And you must believe in Him with all of your heart. You have to repent of your sins and turn from sin because Jesus died for your transgressions. All of the wrath, all of the hell that you deserved because of your transgressions was poured upon Jesus as He hung on the cross of Calvary. He took your place. Paid the price for you. Paid the sin debt for you that you might have His righteousness. Paul said He became sin for us. Who knew no sin? I'm just going to preach. Y'all just hold on. He became sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Praise God! Our sins were transferred to His account. And I know my sins are transferred to His account. His righteousness was transferred to my account. and I can go into the presence of a holy God because I have upon me the righteous robe of Jesus Christ. Praise God. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the 144,000, that number which no man can number, they washed their robes, they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The only holiness, the only righteousness, the only goodness that's in us is the goodness and righteousness and holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood makes us whole. That's why I always preach and I constantly preach, you must have a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ. I realize you can go to church, other places, you can hear other preachers, they'll never tell you that you need a believing application of the blood of Jesus. Let me unfold that for you. Let me unpack that for you for just a moment. What I mean by that is there has to be a time and a place in your life where you feel conviction and you feel conversion. There has to be a time and a place where you can assert that time and place where you're born from above. That time and place where the blood is laid upon you, where you're made holy and righteous in the sight of God through the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to be straight with you. When that happens to you, when that happens to you, you know it. I mean, you feel it. Deep down inside your soul, in a place where only God can deal with you, you know it's of God. Listen, if man has convinced you that you're saved, some man can come along and convince you you're not saved. But when the blood, there's power in the blood, amen. We not just sing that here. We preach that here. We believe in the power of the blood. The power to save. I contend that Jesus not only has the power to save, He has the power to deliver. He has the power to give sight to the blind. And He can give hearing to the deaf. He can raise the lame and cause them to walk. And one of these days, when we go into His glorious kingdom, one of these days, when we go into the glorified Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, everyone who couldn't walk will leap. Everyone who can't see will see. Everyone who is deaf will hear. We'll have perfect glorified bodies. He will heal us of all our diseases. There'll be no hospitals there. There'll be no cancer there. There'll be nothing to trouble us. All these sorrows, all these pains, all these tears, and even death will pass away. Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Holy One of Israel, He who was and is to come, the Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, Raphael, the One who heals, Jehovah Jireh, the One who provides. I'm talking about the One who is the only One who can save you from your sins, and that's Jesus. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the bright and the morning star. He is of the tribe of Judah. And He is the lion that roars in victory and triumph because He is King of kings and He is Lord of lords. There's no one above Him. Everyone is under Him. He is the ruler of rulers. He is the governor of governors. He is the prince of princes. He is the Lord of glory. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Let me ask you, have you had that experience where you got on your knees and you made Him Lord? Do you remember that time when you repented your sins? You believed in His Lordship. You surrendered it all to Him. You yielded it all to Him. You believed in Him with all of your heart as King of kings and Lord of lords. I tell you, when you do that, it transforms you. Makes you anew. You may become a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm getting tired. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I'm talking about a transformation where you're transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm in the King's kingdom. I see that kingdom.
Yes, Miss Carol, I too see the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the God of heaven set up on this earth a kingdom that shall crush and consume and destroy all the other kingdoms of this world. And that king that set up that kingdom is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen, this thing's real to me. It's everything to me. Everything in my life rests in Jesus Christ. I love Him today. I'm like David. I love the Lord. 116 Psalm, verse 1. He said, I love the Lord because He heard my prayer and my supplication. He inclined His ear to me. I was brought low and He helped me. He returned rest into my soul. He said, the pains of sorrow, they encompass me. The pains of hell, God, hold upon me. Listen, my friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He also told the church, He said, after I go away and after His resurrection, He said, I will send the church into the world. I will empower them with the Holy Ghost. And through the empowering of the Holy Ghost, there's this thing called conviction, where it would prove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. There's coming a day when you'll stand before the Lord. Everybody shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They'll give an account unto the body, both good and evil. But the Holy Spirit reproves, it convicts, it draws. I believe people are drawn to the Lord. Deep down in your heart, there's a drawing. There's something that's going on where God is saying, this is me. It's not that preacher up there. It's not your friends sitting next to you. It's not this church. It's the Lord. And you need to acknowledge that that's the Holy Ghost dealing with you, drawing you to a place of repentance, and you need to yield to it. You need to surrender to it. And let me share something. When you do, when you yield to it, something will change inside of you. I love telling about that professor over in Missouri. Went to a little missionary Baptist church. And, you know, got under conviction. And he was smart. He's brilliant. You know, he's a professor at a great university. But he left that place and he was in trouble. The pains of hell got hold upon him. He found trouble and sorrow deep down in his soul. And he said, you know, I am too smart to make myself feel this bad. This must be God. God! God is dealing with you. He's drawing you. He's pulling you to that place, to where you'll fall beneath the crimson flow of Calvary and experience the washing of regeneration. Listen, there's a river. There's the water of life available to you. The water of life that you can drink of. And every man that drinks, he never thirsts again. Come. The bride says, come. The church says, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And partake of the water of life freely. It's available to you. But you're going to have to surrender to God. You have to surrender to the Spirit of God. You have to surrender to the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to yield to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You'll never be saved by the grace of God and drink of the water of life until you repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Oh, thank God for His grace. Everybody I've known that's gotten saved, every one of them that's really gotten saved, they'll tell you it was wholly of grace. Not of any works that I've done. No, He saved us by His grace and through His mercy. Oh, salvation. You need a work of grace in your life. If you've never had a work of grace in your life, you need to come to this altar today. You need to pour your heart out to God. I contend with the authority of God's holy word. You can leave here changed. You can leave here changed knowing that you've been to the cross. You can leave here a new creation in Christ Jesus. But you must yield to God. Must. Get out of your seat. Have enough courage. I was going to preach today on the miracle of sight and sound from the 9th chapter of Matthew. Oh, those blind men, they were crying out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. I believe those blind men were not only able to see, but they were also forgiven. They were converted, but they left their comfortable environment. I mean, it was, they pressed through the crowd. They were crying out to Him. And you need to cry out to the Lord. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They left that familiar environment, two blind men depending on one another. You know what Jesus said about a blind man leading another blind man? They both fall in a ditch, right? But they had these two blind men leading each other, trying to find Jesus. Trying to find Jesus. I believe God was involved in that. They were crying out and acknowledging Him as the Son of David. That's messianic. They were acknowledging him as the Messiah, the promised Messiah. And they followed Him. They followed Him from Darius' house after He healed his daughter. He raised the dead. Jesus raised the dead. He accredited His Messiahship. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. You can read that in the last part of that ninth chapter of Matthew. Anyway, they kept crying and they left that familiar environment. If you were blind, and I had a friend that was blind or a relative that was blind, you know, everything had to stay in place. You couldn't move anything. Because if you moved it, they could stumble, they could fall, they became familiar with a particular area, particular place, all the furniture, everything that was there. And they didn't leave that because it was unfamiliar to them. They didn't know. They were wandering around in the dark. But they followed Jesus all the way into a house. And they were crying out to Him and crying out to Him. It seems as though He was ignoring them. But listen, God likes to prove the genuineness of your faith. He will bring you to the end of yourself. And that's what He was doing. Did they really believe He was Messiah? They had to get out of that comfort zone. They had to go somewhere that they weren't familiar. They had to follow after Him. I wonder if they were asking themselves the question, will we ever get back? We're in a new neighborhood. We've left our home and our area that we're familiar with. We're in a new neighborhood. We don't even know where we're at. But Jesus is there. And that's all that matters. He's the Messiah. It was prophesied in the book of Isaiah that He could give sight to the blind. It was prophesied in the book of Isaiah that He could give hearing to the deaf. It was prophesied in the book of Isaiah that He could make the lame leap. It was prophesied in Daniel that He could raise the dead. This was the Messiah. And He was doing all of that stuff. And they went into that house. And Jesus asked him somewhat of a confrontation. Do you believe I can do this? He asked them, do you believe I can really do this? Do you believe He can save you today? Do you really believe? You'll never be saved until you believe the gospel. I'm trying to preach the gospel to you today. You'll never be saved till you believe the truth. You need to acknowledge your condition as being blind. You need to acknowledge your condition as being lost. You need to acknowledge your condition as being separated from God. And upon that acknowledgement, you need to cry out to the Lord like they did. Believing in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, as the Savior. Aaron, get a song. I'm about done. I didn't mean to preach. We haven't had prayer yet. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have prayer with you. Amen? Those of you that are undone, spiritually blind, we're going to have prayer with you. You might say, well, preacher, I don't know about going to that altar. I'm convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are not here by chance. You are here by divine providence. Yeah. God orchestrated your presence here. You know why He did that? Because He wants to save you from your sins. You might say, well, preacher, everybody thinks I'm saved. Well, there's one who doesn't think it, and that's the one who knows whether or not you're saved or not, and that's God. He knows exactly where you're at, and you know where you're at. And you may fool everybody else, but you won't fool Jesus. You might say, well, preacher, I've been a religious person for years. I've been baptized. I'm a member of a church. It doesn't matter. If you're not saved, you're lost. All that stuff doesn't amount to a hill of beans if the blood has never been applied. Look, we're going to have prayer with you. You might say, well, what will happen when I come down there? You're going to have to pray. We're not going to tell you you're saved. We're not going to read you some scripture. We're not going to entice you into some profession. We don't want you to make a profession that you don't have. You need to know for yourself that you're saved. Yeah. That the blood has been applied. That you're a child of God. We want you to tell us when it happens. We don't tell you. We're not the Holy Spirit, and neither will we take His place. He is quite capable. God is quite capable of convicting you and converting you. God is the one who is able to save you. Jesus' blood was shed for you. The Holy Spirit is here with us and will touch you and change you. He doesn't need our help. You might say, what's going to happen? When you come down here, you're going to pray for yourself. You're going to have to call the Lord. You might say, well, how long do I do that? You stay down there till you get it. Or you keep calling until you find Him. Those blind men, they just kept on and on and on and on until they could see. You seek Him till you find Him. You call upon Him and knock on the door until it's opened. I don't know. You know, there's no the Bible doesn't give us any measure of time. You just seek Him till you find Him. Till you know in your own life, in your own heart, that you're saved. And you'll know. Amen. We here at Victory, we're a little offended at people telling others that they're saved. I'm offended by that. You can't do that. You know, you can't coerce somebody into eternal life. No. They've got to be born from above. Yeah. So as we stand and we sing a verse of some song, or you're going to sing for us, stand up. Let's stand. If you're here today, I want to tell you something. I can't get down inside your soul. Can't do it. I can maybe get in your mind a little bit, but I can't get down there in that uncomfortable place where the Holy Spirit is. If you feel that uncomfortableness inside of your spirit, that's God. You know what He's telling you to do? Step out of the aisle, go to the altar, and call up on the Lord. He'll save you today. He'll save you to the utmost. Those that come to God believing that Jesus is, you got to believe that He is the Lord of glory. A lot of people go down and they want to be saved, but they don't want to believe in the Lord of glory. He's Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's about Him. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. It's through the authority of Jesus, through the shed blood of Jesus, through the resurrection of Jesus, through the power of Jesus. That's how it happens. It's through Jesus. He's Lord. You got to believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Let's sing. Go ahead and sing.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Lord of all, His body the bread, His blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name of above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Messiah.